this time the children can be dismissed to children's church. And sure, I can pass the Kleenex box around, but I think the reality of that song and really the theme of this morning, if you're feeling kind of your heart tugged a bit, I think the message this morning, I find help in it. And I just encourage you today that whether you're in a place in life that seems like it's a time of blessing, things seem to be going great, and you're just in a place of confidence to know that God is your help and He's your keeper, that's great. But the reality is, I know there are many of you here in this room today that are hurting, that are facing challenges that can be overwhelming. And we're going to talk a little bit towards the end of the message about that theme that we see throughout the Psalms. That we see certain Psalms that speak, like Psalm 121 that we're looking at today, that speak of God, the confidence that we can have in God to help us, to keep us from harm. And yet, I am very grateful for the Psalms also that say, like Psalm 13, of God, where are you? How long? How long am I going to suffer? How long am I going to have to wait? So today, I just encourage you as we reflect on, we're continuing the series, but our topic today is God is our help. If you're here today, whether you're in that time of blessing or in that time of challenge and maybe kind of disoriented, just wondering where God is, it's my prayer that we would each find comfort today and encouragement to know that God wants to be our help. You know, as we start, some of you have asked an update on where I'm at in my studies. Some of you know that I'm about 3 years into a Doctor of Ministry program at our denominational seminary, and something I had planned to do much later in life, and the door opened to do it now at probably the busiest season of my life with kids and everything else. So there are times that it's a little challenging. I've joked with people that sometimes when I go home from the gym in the morning, I think, okay, which list am I going to tackle today? Is it going to be my school list, my family list, my church list, my community list, or whatever it might be? And I can remember when I started the program, I just saw Jeff and it reminded me of this. I can remember the leadership saying, we just don't want you to overextend yourself. Well, I'm there. And to give you an update of where some of you that have done online correspondence type stuff or like distance learning, you get this. It's because they design it so that in theory you stay where you're at in your current life situation, work, and ministry. But that's a great theory. Yeah, but you know, it's been a great program. I've learned a lot. But you know, I'm set October 1st. I have to have my defense ready dissertation, and that is as scary to me as it sounds. And so I've never written anything that long in my life. And so I'm at a place right now that I'm like, I see the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm looking forward to having my life back and be more available for community ministry and for church ministry and family and fishing. Would like to have a little bit of time back in my schedule. But, you know, I'm very grateful for the opportunity, and yet I know that I'm in the final stretch. So I see light at the end of the tunnel, but I also know that I'm approaching the longest climb. And I'm looking at a couple of my runners. You get that. It's like when you have the longest climb ahead of you, it's going to be the hardest amount of work. And so I have found great comfort in as I've even prepared this week and looking at a psalm that I have often said is my favorite psalm. Some of you, if I've seen you in the hospital, I've often read this psalm to people in the hospital. Because over the years, I have found great comfort in it to know that no matter what I'm facing, God is my help. And we see that. We see this truth throughout Scripture. I'm going to read a few on the screen, but then we're going to zero in on Psalm 121. Psalm 54:4 says, behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. Psalm 33:20, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Psalm 124:8, our help is in the name of the Lord. And the name of the Lord, that's not talking about just the written name. It's in who his character is and who he is. That our help is in the Lord who made heaven and earth. I'm very grateful when I think about what I'm approaching the next 6 months of my life, that I don't have to rely on my own strength. That I don't have to rely on my own resources. But that as I put the work into it, that I know that God is going to be there with me. And I've been very grateful for the leadership team here, too, that have been encouraging to me to say, look, if you need to take the time, do what you need to do to get this done. But, you know, know that what's ahead of me, knowing that God can be my help, is a great comfort in that. And, you know, I have found that over the years, I have found that to be a great comfort at multiple times and seasons in my life. And the reality is every one of us face storms in our life. Some of you are facing the storms right now. The challenges and the difficulties that you feel overwhelmed, and you're reaching out to someone for help. And as we think about that, I mean, the reality is we all go through different seasons in our life. And some of those seasons, and even the change going from one season to the next, I know I've talked to some of you that are a step ahead of me that are now experiencing empty nest syndrome. That is a change in life. It's a drastic change. And when you go through those different seasons of change in your life, you can be reaching out to someone and say, God, I need your help. I need support. I need strength. You can have health challenges, walking through the loss of a loved one and the grief of losing someone that you've loved, the difficult challenges at work, broken relationships. I mean, we could go through the long list here of places where in your life you say, yeah, I really could use some help here. And I want you today, as we look at the psalm, sometimes we can be in this place where we want to acknowledge the problem, we acknowledge the pain, acknowledge whatever we're facing, and then just quickly put it aside. I want whatever you're facing today, whatever the challenge is that you're facing, where you know you need God's help, I want to encourage you and challenge you to invite God into that area of your life, ask Him in prayer, to invite Him to begin to work in that area of pain, that area of trial, that area of concern. He may not answer the way you expect, but I can guarantee you He will answer. Today, as we approach this, I want to encourage you, whatever you're facing, to make the choice to make God your help. It is a choice. It's a choice that we make, and we'll see this from Psalm 121, that it is a choice. We can try to go it on our own. We can try to pursue other things as a source of help, or we can trust God to be our help. Let's look at Psalm 121. Again, I this is one of my favorite psalms ever since college. It was a part of a vocal group, and I remember one of the songs we sung was based on this text. And this is great. A lot of the psalms are great when put to music. But the Psalm 121 has been one of my favorites ever since college when I was part of a song that we did. But, you know, what's interesting, if you look at Psalm 121, it actually starts out as Song of Ascents. And you think, what's that? I mean, it gives us a clue about the context of what actually is happening here. This is actually a song that the people that would be going to Jerusalem to worship in the temple, that they would be reciting this or singing this as they approach the temple. And as they were entering into Jerusalem, they would see the hills around the city of Jerusalem. And what we see throughout the whole psalm is that it's a psalm reminding them as they go on this journey from wherever they're coming, as they move to Jerusalem to worship, or even on the journey home, that God is going to be their help while on this journey. So on a very immediate sense, they're saying this as a acknowledgement that God will be the help along this journey to Jerusalem or coming from the temple and returning home. But there's clearly a double meaning here too, and that it also is reminding us and giving us a confidence that God will be our help in the journey of life. Whatever it is that we're facing, whatever challenges that we have in front of us, just like God is going to be our help along this journey, God is going to be our help in this journey of life. Let's go ahead and look at the full psalm, Psalm 121. It says, I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. We're going to come back to that, but that's the key text in this section. It's a question and a declaration. And in the way that the psalmist presents this, you see that the psalmist makes a choice. There's a question. Where does my help come? You could say it's a rhetorical question, but it's definitely a poised question, and it's a question that we all have to look at, and even in our own life. Where does my help come from? And then the declaration, my help comes from Yahweh. My help comes from the Lord, the one who made heaven and earth. Now, verses 3 through 8 then substantiates that. It illustrates how we can be confident, we can trust God to be our help. says in verse 3, he will not let your foot be moved. I mean, when you're on a journey, if you're out on a trail, to know that you have sure footing is important. There's a confidence in knowing that God is going to keep us. And the illustration here is the idea that he's going to keep us from falling into trouble. He's going to keep us from falling into hurt and to pain. It says, he who keeps you, and this is a key word through this whole section. You have the helper. God will be our helper in verses 1 through 2. In this illustration of how he will help, again and again, you see the word keep or keeper. God's going to keep us on this journey. He's going to keep us on this journey as we journey to Jerusalem, as we journey home from Jerusalem, or as we journey throughout this life, God will keep us or protect us. It says, he who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Now, some of us, we don't understand that. We understand the idea of, especially those of us that burn easily, the idea of being out in the sun and not having protection. But in the ancient world, there was also fear that even the moon's rays would have a dangerous effect on them. So the idea of being kept during daytime and evening, from that they knew that God was with them, and they would be protected, they'd be kept. It says, the sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. This is an incredible statement of confidence. It's a statement of confidence to know that no matter what we're facing, that we can trust God to be our help and trust God to keep us. And what I'd like to do is we're going to dive into verses 1 through 2. And just think about that question, and think about even as we've addressed that in our own life. And so that we see verse 1, the question, where does my help come from? Where does my help come from? It follows a statement that says, I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? Now, there's two ideas, two understandings of what the hills could mean here. One is there's a positive understanding. Some commentators look at it in a positive sense. Some look at it as a negative sense. The positive look at the hills is, imagine you're approaching Jerusalem. These are the hills surrounding Jerusalem. And they're looking at the hills as the place where they would actually go to worship Yahweh. They'd go to worship the Lord. And it's a reminder in a positive sense that when you look at the hills, you're reminded of the Lord and his promises and his care for us. Many commentators, and I can lean on this direction, it's okay, you can go either way, because I think the answer is the same either way, is more of a negative view of the hills. Remember, Israel worshipped Yahweh, Jehovah, God, among people that worship all sorts of gods. We talked a little bit about that last week. And often those false gods would be worshipped on the hills, on the hilltops. And so there's some commentators that say that the reference that I lift my eyes to the hills is pointing to the fact of all these false gods and these other people that they could choose to put their hope in, their confidence in, and to find their help in. I would say whatever answer you have on that doesn't really matter, because the statement, the response is the same either way. Because either way, God is the maker of the hills. And so the response is that my help comes from the Lord. My help comes from Yahweh, who made heaven and earth. The one who made the mountains, the mountains that his eyes are drawn to, he is the one who would give us the help. And so the psalmist is making this declaration to say, the very God who made the hills is going to be my help along this journey. It's going to be my help along this journey of life. But do you see the fact that he raises the question and then makes the statement? The psalmist presents a choice. And it's a choice that every one of us has to make. And I have found it's not a choice that we make once. It's a choice we have to make consistently throughout our walk with God. Because there are some days it's very easy to say, yeah, the Lord is my help, when things are going great. But then there are other times where you're saying, God, where are you? And you're struggling. And you're facing that challenge. And it's a little harder to make the choice to say that my help will come from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You know, the reality is we all have a choice. And we have a choice to either go it alone. We just say, I'm just going to buckle down. I'm going to get it done. I don't need any help. I'm just going to do it myself. You know, there's a part of Western PA culture that I grew up in that is, I mean, we're typically pretty quick to give the shirt off our own back, but we often in Western PA, we can be slow to receive help from others. Maybe that's just Shawville where I was from, but I've seen that. Is it me? Okay, yeah. Ken grew up in Grampian right up the road. So it definitely, in the part that I grew up in Pennsylvania, is that true around here? We tend to be reluctant. There are other parts of the country that much more open to the idea of receiving help from other people. And so we have to be on guard that we don't have this philosophy in life to say, I'm going to be okay on my own. We have to do the work. We have to be self-sufficient, and yet we have to be in a place where we understand our need for God and our need to trust Him and open up our lives to Him, but also open up our lives to others who God wants to use to be an encouragement and blessing to you. So we can either go it alone. We can trust other gods. And again, that second interpretation of the hills could be that it's pointing to where they might worship Baal or might worship one of the other gods to say, well, I know all these gods are being worshipped. Now, who am I going to worship? Who am I going to trust? Who am I going to put my confidence, my hope in? The declaration that my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, gives us the reality of the most important choice that we can make in those moments is to trust the Lord, to trust Yahweh, trust the Lord to be our help. You know, if you're like me, there are times in my life that we get there eventually, but we don't trust God immediately. Typically, we try two or three things. We try to fix it ourselves. We try some other plans, and then we finally fall flat on our face and say, God, okay, I need you. Am I the only one that's ever done that? I don't think so. A.W. Tozer has a great statement in response to that. He says, it is characteristic of human nature to turn to God only after every avenue of help has been explored and been found useless. This is one of the many evils which sin has visited upon us, the bent to look everywhere for aid, but in the right place. And if we do look in the right place, to look there last. I mean, Tozer's making the connection that tendency to look everywhere else but to God for help is part of our sin nature. That our sin, the sin within us will draw us to that place of trying to be self-sufficient or try to trust other things other than God. And we have to come to that place that we just recognize that the most important one and the most effective person that we can trust is the Lord Himself. And reach out to Him and invite Him to help you, whatever it is that you're facing. I want to ask you today, are there things that you're carrying alone? Are there things that you're overwhelmed with right now that you're really, if you're honest, you realize you're carrying that thing alone and you're not really giving that to God to let Him work, to be a help to you? We can choose to trust God with whatever it is that you're facing. Now, two practical things. I don't have this on the screen, but when it comes to this concept, this idea of trusting God to be our help, two just practical things of advice that I want to include is that we need to also understand that we still have to do our part. If I say to Jeff and say, hey, Jeff, I got to go move a piano later this week. And I call Jeff up and we show up and I just sit and watch Jeff load the piano onto the back of a trailer and haul it over to my house and have him somehow try to drag it in. I have confidence in Jeff. He could probably do it. But is he a help or is he doing it? The idea of a help means that he's coming alongside to assist, but there's work that we have to do. There's work that we have to do. You know, if my kids come to me and say, I have a test, will you pray for me? I can pray, and God can help with the test. And I know some of you have been taking a lot of tests at work for certification and different things. And I know you have not only prayed, but you've also done a lot of hard work in study and preparation. So it's important that we understand that we have to do our part. When it comes to trusting God to be a help, we have to do what we can do, but then lean into God and let Him be the help that we need in that moment. Second practical thing is that the help doesn't always come as we expect it. The help often doesn't come as we expect it. Often when it comes to hard times and challenges and difficulties in this world, our answer to the prayer is, God, just take it off the path. Take it out of my life and remove it. And then, although sometimes God wants to walk with us through that trial, so we need to be prepared for the fact that God will be our help. But he may help in a way that you don't expect it. It's like the classic Footprints poem. When the man looks back, if you're familiar with the poem, and looks back, the sets of footprints in the sand are a picture of him walking with Jesus. But he looks back and he realizes that along the darkest seasons in his life, there was only one set of footprints. The answer that Jesus gives him, well, it was in those moments that I carried you. Sometimes God doesn't take you out of the pain. God doesn't take the pain or the grief or whatever it is that you might be facing. Sometimes it's amidst that when we lean into him and trust him to help us, is that we got to let him carry us and let him be present with us, ministering to us in the heartache and the pain and the sorrow or whatever it is that we're facing. God doesn't always answer the way we expect, and yet God will answer. You know, end with kind of looking not only at Psalm 121, but I want us to think about the Psalms and the message of the Psalms as a whole. Because you know what? I often go in and read Psalm 121 because Psalm 121 was a passage of scripture that I found very meaningful to me, not only years ago in college with a song, but in September 1998, I had back surgery. Had surgery a year to the day before Bryce was born. And it was 4 or 5 weeks leading up to the surgery that I was miserable. I never thought I'd need workman's comp as a pastor. But I injured my back moving sound equipment at an outdoor service and severely injured my back, and it just kept getting worse to the point where I couldn't walk. I can still remember Jana coming home and finding me in our kitchen, hanging onto the kitchen counter, and I couldn't move, and I was just in tears. Literally just paralyzed because I was in so much pain and so much. I'd never experienced pain like that in my life or since. But, you know, I remember through that season and even prior to my surgery, I remember reading this text to Psalm 121 and had the confidence to know that God would be my help. I also especially liked the part about God not slumbering, because when I was going to be under, I knew God wasn't. He was going to be alert. He was going to be awake, even when I wouldn't remember a thing from the surgery, which is just the way I liked it. But, you know, that picture of the Psalms, it's very easy. If you looked at just Psalm 121 and didn't look at the rest of the Psalms, you'd think, well, God's never going to allow pain and suffering in my life. You listen to certain TV preachers, they'll tell you the same thing. I love the honesty in the Psalms. And what you see is there are certain Psalms that declare the confidence in who God is and that he can be our help and we can trust him. But then there's also these laments that are included that is like just very heart-wrenching cries to God. God, where are you? If you get a chance, I just had a chance to watch it yesterday, but Fuller Seminary just did an video interview with Bono from U2. And Eugene Peterson, who did the paraphrase of the Bible, the Message, and they talked about the Psalms. And one of the key themes they hit on, echoed this sentiment of the idea of the honesty, the brutal honesty in the Psalms. And so I want us to think about this. So when we think about letting God be our help, recognize that that's true. It is true that God wants to be our help, whether we're in seasons of challenge or whether we're in seasons of blessing. Whether we're in a season of life that we're oriented and things are going well, or that we're facing this season in life that we're disoriented, wondering what is happening. Look at Psalm 13. I have verses here on the screen. Psalm 13 starts out with this lament. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? You know, I've often talked to people that feel like they have to polish their prayers, that they can't speak honestly what they're thinking towards God. I want to tell you something. If you're angry at God, he already knows it. And the Psalms are full of these laments of people just crying out in their pain, crying out in their frustration, saying, God, I have a beef with you. I'm upset. I don't like what's happening. How long am I going to deal with this? But the beauty of the lament is there, but there's usually always a few verses of confidence and a few verses of faith. And look at verse 5. It says, but I have trusted. That little word, but, so critical. Everything up to that point is a negative of the kind of the complaint. But then there's that turning of saying, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Think about the well-known 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd Psalm. You have the promise of God guiding us and directing us, but you have in verse 4, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, if God's going to lead me, I'd rather just take the bypass and totally miss the valley of the shadow of death. If I'm looking at the map, that's not the place that I want to go. And in this journey of life, there are seasons in our life that we walk through that are dark, that there's pain, that there's heartache. And yet, in the midst of that, we have the confidence. And that's why Psalm 23 is so powerful, even in the midst of those times of pain, that we can say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. That's right, Chelsea. God is with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God's presence, that's the picture of Jesus carrying you in the Footprints poem. That even when the pain isn't taken away, that God desires to carry us. He's with us, and just his presence with us can sustain us. That psalm ends with the confidence in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Whatever you're facing today, I want to encourage you to make that same choice. The choice that the psalmist makes at the beginning of Psalm 121. Of where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from Yahweh, the maker of heaven and earth. I'm going to make the choice and the confidence to put my faith and trust in him to help me. It may not be the help that you're looking for. May not be the help that you're expecting. And yet God is always faithful, if nothing else, just in his presence with you in that time of trial, his presence with you in that time of pain. He will be faithful to be your help, to encourage you, to sustain you. You know, during that season of my life, I was trying to think back at how many weeks it was pre-surgery and post-surgery. And the surgery was rough, but the worst part of it was the 4 or 5 weeks leading up to surgery. Not knowing whether I should have surgery, not knowing how bad. I mean, I was 26 at the time, losing strength in my left leg, and nerves were in my leg were doing all sorts of weird things. And I remember the doctor looking at me and saying, you're too young to be dealing with this. Not sure he'd say that now. But at that time, he said, you're too young to be dealing with this. And he recommended surgery, and I walked through that. And, you know, I was grateful. I can look back and see not only was God faithful, he was present with me in that. But, you know, often the way that God is present in our lives and often the way that God helps is through God's people stepping up and being available to help. I mean, if you look around in this room, you know there are times in some of you that have been a part of this church for a while, you know there have been times in your life that you've faced challenges and the way that God answered prayer, the way that God cared for you, was to send someone from the church or someone from this community that just came alongside and helped, whether it was in providing a meal, a word of comfort, a word of encouragement. And we need to remember that often the way that God shows up to help is through you and me. And we need to make ourselves available to God to not only understand that he wants us to trust him to be a help in our life, but then we also need to make ourselves available that God can use us. That we can be, as some have said, the idea of that we can be God with skin on for someone. Not just theoretically think, well, yeah, God be with you. Sometimes you need to not only give the encouragement that God is with you and offer the prayer, but then you need to come alongside and say, how can I encourage you? How can I support you? How can I help? God is our help, and he wants us, he chooses to use us to be a help to those around us. And not only in our church, but in our community, God wants to use us to demonstrate to this church family and to demonstrate to this community that God desires to be a help. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that today, especially for those that are in those seasons of challenge right now. And Lord, we know your Spirit's been here and has been moving, and yet we just come and we do ask, Lord, that you would minister directly to the individuals here today that are hurting and just need to know that you're there. Lord, that they would just have the confidence to know that they can choose to trust you as their help. But Lord, also help us to make our lives available, our time available, to be a help to one another. Lord, that you would do your work through us to help not only our church family and our community, but our larger community of Warren. May we have eyes and ears to see people that are hurting around us and make ourselves available, Lord, to be an encouragement, to be a help to those people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.